Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for us today comes from the Gospel according to Luke in the 11th chapter, where Jesus asks, "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Friends in Christ, is your interaction with God primarily transactional or relational? How's that for an intro? Let me do it differently. When you go to God, is it primarily to get things, or is it primarily to get Him? How do you know? There's an easy way to know. Examine your prayers. Now, I don't want to give the wrong impression. We are invited by Jesus to ask our Father God for things. In fact, the little story that Jesus tells here in Luke 11 is very instructive. It teaches us that shameless prayer, persistent prayer, gets attention. That story of the man coming to his friend midnight and asking for bread, and Jesus says the man doesn't get up because he's the guy's friend. He gets up because that's a bold request. Jesus says, in so many words, "Go bang on my Father's door and don't be shy." But here's where we need to be careful. God wants to be more to us than a divine vending machine. Or think of it this way. All of us have probably had that person in our lives that comes around only when they need something. You see the number on the caller ID and you just know that they are going to hit you up for something. And your reaction tells me everything I need to know about how that makes you feel. They're not interested in you for you. They're interested in you for what you have to give. So with that in view, let me ask, when you pray, is it mostly to get things, or is it mostly to get Him? Lots of people have questions about prayer. One of Jesus' disciples did. "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples," was the request, and Jesus begins his answer with what we call the Lord's Prayer. And the very first thing Jesus teaches about prayer is that it is rooted in a relationship. When you pray, say, "Father, hallowed be your name." When you pray, say, "Father." But it's not just say, "Father," it's believe that God is my Father. It's trusting that as my Father, God feels a certain way towards me and is going to act in certain ways towards me. What are those certain ways? Well, listen to the questions again that Jesus asks. "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion?" On the face of it, it's ridiculous, right? Candidly, it's pretty funny of Jesus to say that. The point? That your Heavenly Father knows how to give you the right thing. And He especially enjoys giving the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Part of a child-to-father relationship is trusting that my Father truly has my best interests in mind. Accepting God as your Father in prayer means accepting that He really does know best. This ought to be good news, but it is often the reason under the reason that our prayers falter and in some cases stop altogether. We might say we're too busy or we don't know the right words to say, but the reason under the reason is that God might not do things the way I think He should. And I have a problem with that. I want my prayers to change things, but I don't really want prayer to change me. So often when people say, what is the right way to pray, they leave off the end of the question. What they're really asking is, what is the right way to pray to get what I want? But prayer is not like a magic spell where if I say the right words in the right order, I'll get my wish granted. Or it's not mechanical. Like if I just hit on the right combination, it will unlock what I'm looking for. Jesus is teaching us that prayer is relational. Prayer is talking to Dad. It's running to Him, banging on His door, spilling my guts to Him, and trusting that He will either give me what I ask for if He knows that it's best for me, or He'll give me something that is far better for me. And that takes faith. That takes humility. You have to demote your pride to pray this way. And knowing that, Jesus teaches us to pray, saying, Father, hallowed be Your name. The first thing Jesus teaches us is that prayer is talking to Dad and trusting that His decisions are right and they are best. The second thing Jesus teaches us is that adoration and love comes before asking God for things. Hallowed be Your name is a statement of praise and a statement of priority. Listen, you are going to hallow something. Everyone hallows something. And by hallow, I mean you make that one thing the thing above all other things. The thing you cannot do without. Jesus says that's supposed to be Father God. But all too often, people hallow. People make the one thing above all other things, their family, or wealth, or romantic love, or a successful career, or athletic accomplishment, or some other type of achievement, being regarded as intelligent or just a good person. Those are all good things. But they cannot take the weight of being the one thing that you can't do without. It's been said that almost all our problems are problems of adoration, meaning you, I have hallowed something besides God. You've made it number one, and now it is running your life. It's distorting your view of the world and of yourself because it was never meant to be number one. It wasn't built for that. So, today's challenge, today's invitation, is to take whatever you have hallowed, whatever you have put in the driver's seat of your life that isn't God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and move it over. Not get rid of it, especially if it's something good, but move it over, out of the driver's seat. Human beings like you and me have a tendency to hallow the gift more than the giver. But Jesus says prayer has to begin with hallowing your Father. only when you worship the giver can you really enjoy the gifts. Now, when I think about being a father, I mean, even though I know I'm a pretty imperfect father, I yearn for my son to be happy and to do well with his life. And I think, well, God must feel that way too, because he's my father. But wait a minute. He is an almighty father. I'd do anything to help my son, but I'm awfully limited in what I'm really able to do. But you and I have a father in heaven who doesn't just dream great dreams and hopes that we're successful, but he is an almighty father, which means his wishes have to come true. So he gave up the one thing he treasured most, the son he loved, in order to forge a relationship with you. He put the price for sin on his son when he died on the cross. And do you understand what that means? It means he hallows you. You are the one thing above all other things for him. He adores you. Do you return that adoration to him? If your heart is responding to this good news right now, let me tell you, this is the foundation from which to launch your prayers. Go to God to get him, and everything else falls into place. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, your Son made it possible for us to approach you in prayer, and he taught us that to pray to you is to hallow you, to name you as the one thing above all other things, the one thing that we cannot do without. And when we live that way, by the Holy Spirit's power, when we truly approach you in this sense, we see how blessed we truly are, and we know what happens when we don't live that way. Help us to marvel once again at the access that you have given us to yourself in prayer, as we practice your presence through the words that we say, and may our prayers be filled with your word. May your word inform our prayers. As we do here in worship, may we do so privately in our own prayer lives. And so, Lord, indeed, teach us to pray. Teach us to desire this sacred time with you. We pray it in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.